WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus and Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
I'm on a mission for the King. He told me to smile, and he told me to sing.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. This is Dr. Bob Hieronymus, and tonight I'm with the Queen, Zahara Hieronymus. You there, sweetheart?
I'm right here.
And we have open lines tonight. We're talking about a little few memories during our holiday season. And our executive producer, of course, and research assistant Laura Cordner. Our engineer is Jake Bryant. And we were talking with Carol in Essex. Are you still there, Carol?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, thank heavens.
Cause I have so many memories, I could write you a book and send it to you.
Well, you don't have to write a book, but I sure would like to hear a couple of them, because what can you tell us about the Baltimore in which you grew up in, dear?
Well, okay, I was born on Elliott Street, and we moved when I was 4 years old to Waverly, and they had a nursery school for small children at the Margaret Brent on St. Paul and 26th Street.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And my mom used to take my sister and I down there every morning and pick us up at night until we were old enough, you know, to come home ourselves after, you know, we stayed in school there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so many things. My sister and I used to go to the Waverly movies every Saturday, see a cowboy movie.
Did you see me there? Because I was there.
I didn't know you.
Do you know?
I was older than you. I'm 73, but I'm a young 73.
Well, you're not too much older than I am.
I'm a Capricorn, so I'm a young 73.
Well, Capricorns are amongst the very best. Isn't that right, Zahara?
We mature early, but we stay young.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, we used to go to the Arundel after school, get our cherry coke.
Oh, the cherry coke.
And there was
the
a place next door to the Boulevard Movies, and we used to sit up there.
What was your curfew? What time did you have to be home when you would go out with your girlfriends?
Well, my mom raised four girls. I was the youngest, but I was more serious than the other ones.
Naturally, parents wear out.
I didn't stay out real late at night, though, but my mother kept tabs on us, but if my sister wanted to go up the road, I had to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that we used to go to Arthur's Bakery every Sunday.
Arthur's Bakery?
Huh?
Arthur's Bakery is legendary in my family.
Yeah, and get a dozen. We used to get the jelly and coconut fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're good memories. But we didn't stay out at night.
No.
We were really good girls. We didn't do any, you know, what they call run around and stay out late at night or anything like that. But I was serious. I left school, and I wished I would have stayed in school. I quit at 16 to help my mom out.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what else. We used to walk to school, Bob, every morning and come home every night down to Margaret Brent School. And it didn't even bother us doing all that walking.
Was that, did you say Margaret Brent School?
Yeah, it was Margaret Brent, 26 in St. Paul, right across from where the Underground Railroad.
Oh, that was exotic area. You were that Underground Railroad.
Well, I don't mean it like it sounds. It was just underground. You could stand there and watch the trains.
That's what I meant. I used to go there and stand and look at. You would stand on, I think it was St. Paul.
Yeah.
Yep, and you'd look down and you see these trains. I thought it was so mysterious. I thought it was one of
the mysterious. It's dark.
Sure.
My older sister and her husband used to take my mom and I. We used to just walk all over Guilford Avenue and go watch the trains. And go to their house and walk us back. But gosh, could have been 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Nobody ever bothered you.
No, they didn't. My dad used to tell me stories about Druid Hill Park that just made me just feel like everyone must have been in love with each other at that time.
And my older sister, my mother, and I, we used to walk down and get the streetcar and down on Harford Road by Clifton Park and go down to Carlin's Park and come back.
Well, it was a pretty long ride. I remember Clifton.
It was a long ride.
Yeah, Clifton Park was just extraordinary.
Well, I went there too.
I have memory. Do you have memories of when it was like a beach?
A beach.
Yeah, they brought in sand. Oh, that was after your time.
I was only about. I was about 12 when I left there to go to Eastern High.
Oh, you went to Eastern.
Yeah.
When did you graduate from Eastern, hon?
I didn't graduate. That's when I quit to help.
Oh, that's right. You had to quit when you were 16.
I didn't have to. My mom was mad when she found out, but. I got a good job at the Acme, and I was there for 33 and a half years, so I had a good career.
Which Acme was that, hon?
I was at all of my, I inquired at the one that, what's it called, the 32nd, and what's it,
Alameda.
Where the A&P and the Acme were next to each other.
Yes, I remember that area. I'm trying to remember it now.
You know, where Reed's was?
Yes.
Okay, you walk around to the back of Reed, and there was a little street. And
yes.
The next street, you made a right, and there was a parking lot, and the Acme and the A&P.
Yep, I can see it exactly.
Yes.
I can see it.
It was like a jewelry store in the corner.
Well, Carol, thank you very much for giving us a call.
I enjoy it. I mean, this is the first time I got to tell anybody about what I'm, but I'd have to tell you what my last name was in case you heard it. It was Slipper, like a shoe.
You were Carol Slipper.
Carol
Slipper.
But well. That was many ages ago, but we never traveled down the, our group of girls never traveled down like on Greenmount Avenue, so we didn't get to meet you guys. But like I said, we were about 4 years older than you because you're what, 64?
66.
56. Yeah, I probably was long gone when, about the time you moved there, I guess.
Well, I have such fond dreams and memories of that particular time, especially.
Oh, I loved it. We used to walk up to, what's it, St. John's?
St. John's Episcopal Church?
Yeah, well, the church was in, and that lane right to the left of it.
Oh, what a lovely lane.
We used to walk up, my mom used to walk, my sister and I, we used to go to the church on 33rd and Alameda. I was in the junior, senior, and intermediate choirs. Such good memories.
Oh, I love the choirs.
Yeah.
Well, honey, we better get on to some of our other listeners. They've been hanging on for such a long time. I really enjoyed that. Oh, thank you, Carol. And are you still there, dear?
I am.
Okay. Now, let's go to Gary in Catonsville, who has been hanging on for about 3.5 days. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you for being so patient. I really appreciate it.
Like your show, love your show, and just reminiscing about skating. And I'm a Catonsvilleite. I've been here... I was born in 47 and been here in Catonsville all my life. But I remember in the 50s on Wilkins Avenue, of course, Rolling Road Golf Course, they had a big pond over there.
Yeah.
And we would all sneak in and not actually sneak in, but skate there. But my biggest thrill was, I guess, in the late 60s when I was dating my wife, current wife. And we would go to Patapsco State Park and skate the Patapsco River.
Oh, that sounds
off
great.
Off of Biffle Road. And,
I wonder if they still do that. Are people allowed to? They probably don't let you do anything like that anymore.
See, ever since Agnes hit, I don't know how far you can get down into the state park, but but years and years ago it was great, though. I mean, you could skate and there would be people on the side with some bonfires and course.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it was just fantastic. And then I wasn't I got married in 70, but my brother was 9 years older than I am, and we would all go down to Pappy's in Irvington. I don't know if you remember.
I've heard of it. I've heard of Irvington and Pappy's.
It was like roast beef and...
That's what it was, yeah.
Sandwiches and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I really have fond memories of Edmondson Village, especially with all the Bradford pear trees lined up with the lights on across from the hat company.
Oh.
And then it seems to me, if I remember right, they had Santa Claus and a sleigh and Granger on top of the roofs of Hoshel Cone and over there at Emerson Village.
Gosh, I don't ever recall seeing that.
I know, we'll have to get it confirmed from at least another two witnesses.
And the other things I remember is going downtown to Hutzler's.
I remember that. That was a really special thing.
Grown where the escalators had, instead of metal, they were like wooden. Do you remember that?
No.
I remember something different about the escalators.
They clippity-clopped or going up and down the escalators. They were like wooden steps.
Gosh, I don't remember that.
But
well, that those four stores down there, and of course there were more, as Zoe mentioned, Rager,
Cummins, Hoshel's, Hutzler's, and Hex, and well, I can especially remember Hutzler's. Fond of going in there.
That seemed to be the classiest of all four of them. At least the Jock Kelly. Do you read Jock Kelly in the Sun papers? Sometimes.
Yeah, I used to. I don't get the Sun, but 3 days a week now.
Well, then there's another fellow on the Sun papers called Fred Rasmussen.
I've read him.
He's done a lot of stories on old Baltimore, and I hope these two guys get together and publish something along those lines, because I love knowing the history of those different places.
But I tell you another thing, too, is not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, but Westview Shopping Center, when it first opened, it was, I guess, what they would call a strip mall. It wasn't enclosed or anything. I remember hamburgers being there, and, it was Webster's. It was just a tremendous shopping center. It was.
I remember that. That was one that my father and grandfather and their company first built, and it was the beginning of that whole phenomenon of strip
malls. That was the premier mall. That was, I call it a mall.
Yeah.
That's the premier shopping center.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm trying to.
You know, even before 695 opened to the public, I don't know how it happened, but we went biking on 695 on our bikes.
Whoa!
And
there were no
there.
Cars yet. It was really amazing.
it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Those things that, of course, when you're experiencing them, they don't seem like they're such big things, and then you look at the scope of a lifetime, and that always interests me, how the things that pop out at us are things that maybe at the time didn't register as being all that valuable.
So important, but now reminisce and think back.
And so you know what I've come to think, maybe you find this too, that it's the feeling that we have about certain memories that is what makes them so poignant and so strong, so that even some of the most important things, maybe the feeling wasn't so great, so we don't think much about them. But these other things that kind of just gave you a sense of security and unity with your community and your environment and a sort of a wholeness about it.
I can just remember going over to Emerson Village and just feeling so safe. And
exactly.
I mean, the Hess shoe company, I remember the monkeys in the window and...
Oh, they were
hobby horses and getting shoes there. It was just like, it seems like yesterday, but
Hess shoes were such a high profile quality store. Oh my gosh, I remember every time we could never afford to buy our shoes.
Well, my dad used to always say, "How come I got to buy mine at Tom again?"
That's right. That's right. That's where I had to get ours. Tom McCannon or Cannons or something like that. I mean, I remember the first time I ever got a pair of shoes for $4.95. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was the
I remember my first pair of Jack Purcells. I begged them. I said, God, that's all they're wearing in high
that's
school.
That's what I wore, Jack Purcells.
How much
of
were
I was a tomboy, so I
Gary,
wore it.
Gary, how much were they? Do you remember how
you
much?
Know, it seems to me they were like $18 in my mom.
Whoa! Whoa!
My mom would put money off to the side from my dad. Not stealing it, but hiding it.
That's a
just to treat me to it because my brother was 9 years old. He was married then, but
Jack Purcells. They were great shoes, actually, because they had the rounded toe and that big, nice rubber bumper at the front.
Exactly.
Very comfortable.
And that blue stripe. Remember the blue stripe at the front? Remember the blue stripe at the front, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's out because they were imitators. They
right.
were imitators, but that Purcell was, you know, they could not imitate that.
Right.
That. And you knew from a distance whether that guy was wearing the hotsy-totsy ones or he was just wearing the $1.98 that I'd have to wear.
Oh,
because you could get shoes. You could get shoes for $1.98. Remember that? You did. I mean,
oh,
I did.
I know.
I remember. Well, look, we better take...
Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. And
enjoyed it.
I love your show, Zoe and Dr. Bob.
Well,
great reminiscing.
Yeah,
same
thank
here.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, we have a caller on the line, Teresa in Parkville. We're going to talk about skating. And then we have open line. So if you want to call us now, 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM680, 1-800-922-6680. Choral societies. I had that one discussion, that one fellow that called a little earlier about the Baltimore City College Choral Society. He just awakened memories within me that I just totally had forgotten about. Isn't that something? Okay, friends. Hey, by the way, are there any farmers out there? Because we're going to talk about farming in a little while. This weather's really gotten tough on us farmers. Of course, I've been a farmer for a long time. What about you, Zoe? You still farming?
No, I tried to get something in about beekeepers. If anybody in the audience is a beekeeper, I'd like to know what they think about the epidemic loss of bees.
Okay, we'll be back with Zahara Hieronymus, myself, on 21st Century Radio. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com.
This is Renee Brooks Katakalos, publisher and editor of Edible Chesapeake, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. It's Dr. Bob Hieronymus with the Queen of My Heart, Zahara Hieronymus, on the other line, is knocking out another book, and I think sometime, maybe about this time next year. Do you think this time next year it'll be out?
Let's see. I handed it in June, God willing, all goes well, and then it comes out the spring of 2011.
2011.
That's amazing. You know, until you actually write and publish, you have no idea that an author will generally turn in a manuscript a year before it hits fans. It's an amazing thing, really.
Well,
unless
also
it's current events, in which case they try to roll them over a little faster.
Well, there's another amazing thing going on. Teresa has waited for 2.5 hours, it seems, to get, to get online. Thank you very much for calling, Teresa. Are you still with us?
I'm enjoying the program.
Oh, good, Teresa. I'm Zahara, can you hear her?
I do. I hear perfectly fine.
I actually was just calling about the ice skating.
Oh.
And there were places. We went to the sports center. We went to Carlin's. There was another rink that was on Charles Street, right below North Avenue, and several others. But the most fun was had when we skated at Patterson Park.
Patterson Park.
There was what we called the boat lake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the summertime, they had rowboats, and the people could rent a boat and ride the lake.
Sounds a little like the way Druid Hill Park used to be.
Yeah, had that.
Did they ever have any ice skating at Druid Hill Park?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, if anyone went ice skating on that pond, and they, you know, that's a deep pond there. By that fountain, you know, I don't know how deep it is.
Yeah, where the boats were.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not too familiar with Druid Hill Park, although that was near Carlin somewhere where we would pass through. But anyway.
I'm trying to remember Carlin's. Was that at the bottom of Park Heights Avenue?
It was in that area, yes.
And where was there a Royal Dunlogan Dairy somewhere nearby?
I don't know, but frankly, I'm before your time.
Well, that's why I'm asking someone who should know, except I wish I remembered well, because I remember one of the most amazing things I ever experienced before I was 10 years old was when we moved out to Northwood, and I got to actually see milk trucks. No, to most people that was kind of ordinary. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, there was Cloverland, Royal Dunlogan, and I can't remember so many others. Was there a Green Spring Dairy?
Green Spring?
Yeah.
There was a little dairy that was just a few houses from where I live. A few doors up. There was a Wills.
Wills! Yes, there was another one, Wills. That Green Spring Dairy, it seemed to me, I remember something above Hamden, or just about in Hamden, off of Falls Road, and, oh gosh, I don't know, is that 34th Street? I don't know.
It was there until not very long ago, actually.
Yes, that's correct.
Some remnant of it was still there.
Well, I always liked the Royal Dunlogan bottle of milk because...
The shape.
Yeah. Could you describe that shape for us, Teresa?
I think it's kind of rectangular at the bottom and bubbly up the top.
Yeah, it's
kind of at the top.
I used to liken it to a baby doll.
Oh, well, that's true.
And since we didn't have too much money in those days, I remember pretending one. Our toys were more or less like, you must have gone through this, clothespins.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever get into that?
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah, because, little toy soldiers were a little bit too expensive, but I used to have whole clothespin armies that I would draw little faces on, you know, the wooden clothespins.
Right.
Kind of things, and then play in the mud on the outside. Do you remember Waverly at all, Teresa?
Some, but I'm from down in the East Baltimore, Fells Point area.
Fells Point.
Patterson Park, Fells Point.
I was born on Fleet Street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now that's close to Patterson Park, isn't
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on Fleet Street, and I guess that would be Highland Town.
Well, Fleet Street runs from, a long way, almost from the harbor downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Out through Highland Town.
Mm-hmm.
And then Canton, Highland Town.
Well, when you did your skating, was it always on ice, or did you do roller skating? Any roller skating?
We also roller skated at Carlin's.
At Carlin's.
The ice skating, as I say, that was the best thing was ice skating when we had a cold winter and the lake froze over in Patterson Park. And we really had a grand time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the fire. It was just a great thing.
Well,
and, we also went out in the Brooklyn area. There was a spot that we would go to that was would freeze over.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousins lived out there. We would go there and skate, but that was the best, really, but much better than skating indoors.
Agreed.
Yes.
I agree, yeah.
Well, I never did either, so I really kind of missed out. I've always wondered what it felt like. I really did. I've always felt like it looked like it was flying. You know, like it looked to me as if people on ice skates were actually, you know, flying through the air. Yeah. That which reminds me of something. Did you ever go to the Hippodrome Theater?
Oh, many times, yes. And also there was the one on Monument Street, which was the State Theater. And they also had vaudeville shows.
Well, I remember going to the Hippodrome Theater and didn't know we were going down Howard Street on the L. My more recent research and reading have turned that up. But for some strange reason, when we were on the L, you know what I mean by that elevated area down Guilford? Yes, you're going down Guilford, and you were up in the air maybe about 20, 25 feet, and you would look out the window, and it looked like there was nothing under you. Do you remember that?
Well, yes.
That used to scare me to such an extent that I had nightmares.
Oh my goodness!
About that for years, because I couldn't quite understand how in the world could be riding along up in the air on nothing, and of course I thought I totally misunderstood that we were on Guilford. I thought we were right in the middle of downtown. But I guess we had to take another bus from Guilford over to the Hippodrome. I don't remember how that was.
Well, you may have walked.
Walked? Yeah, we probably did. We didn't have that much money.
We walked from where I lived downtown to the Hippodrome. We walked from where I lived up to Monument Street to the... We walked everywhere.
Yeah.
People didn't have cars like they do now.
Yeah, that's a darn shame that we don't do enough walking. But, you know, we might not feel as safe as we did before. My dad told me stories about Druid Hill Park that I'll never forget. And he said they used to go to sleep during the summer in Druid Hill Park without, he took his wallet out of his back pocket and put it above his head. And he would sleep on the ground, on the grass, and on blankets. And there would be hundreds of people in Drudel Park at that time. Your memories are like that, too?
They did that also at Patterson Park.
At Patterson Park, too?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so it was much, much cooler.
And, we didn't have air conditioning the way we do now.
No, we certainly didn't even think about that. Fan was about the biggest thing, I think, from that standpoint.
Yeah, I never slept out in the park, but my uncle would take my two brothers with him, and they would spend the night out there. And the next day, you knew that the crowd had been to the park because there would be newspapers that they had spread to use instead of blankets or whatever.
That's right. That's what I forgot.
And it was a very happy time, believe it or not.
A lot happier than these days, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, yes.
Teresa, thank you for joining us.
It was very nice to talk to you.
Same here.
I've been an admirer of Zoe for a long, long time, and you also. But you came after Zoe.
Yeah, I certainly did. Yes, and I've been an admirer of hers for a very long time too. From that standpoint, she's one of the few people that could ever tolerate me and all my various ups and downs in life and that kind of thing. So thank you for joining us, Teresa.
Yeah, wonderful stories.
Yes. I mean, I love hearing from people.
Well, and it's just so nice to see that the Patterson Park area is really having a rejuvenation, renovation. I mean, there really are so many people trying to bring back the quality of city living that people enjoyed for so many decades.
Well, I'm glad to see that, too, especially in Patterson Park. As a matter of fact, I understand, if you don't mind my saying it, your family has a fair amount to do.
Well, there are a lot of people in the philanthropic community who are very focused on being sure that neighborhoods are stabilized and people have good schools and good communities and safe communities to live in. And it takes, concerted effort by municipalities and private investment and strategic thinking about it. You know, how do you go about stabilizing neighborhoods? So anyway, it just doesn't happen because somebody thinks about it. It's because whole communities of people who live there like the Patterson Park area and the communities that live there get together in their neighborhood associations, and they make a difference where they live. And that's what it takes, is people living in communities, investing in their community with their time and their talent. And it doesn't happen just because the municipality is there or a private foundation is there. It's really all about the community making the effort. That's why community associations are so important.
Well, I'll tell you what also so is important, farmers and farming. And I've always wanted to ask this question to our listeners. Do we have any farmers out there? We must, if there's some. I know we have listeners in Carroll County and some in Howard County. And certainly we'd like to hear from you, because we are going through a number of interesting experiences on our little piece of land and our farmette. Would you like to talk about our farmette after
our
we come
farmette?
Back?
Well, I love having hens, which we had as a kid, but I don't remember particularly loving them when I was a kid. I remember them rather being terrifying. Getting the eggs was a very scary experience when we were children, but I'm thinking, were the chickens really more violent than now? Because now they're very sweet. They don't do anything. They don't even get in the way when you take the eggs. I don't know. It's very funny, but I love the way they all get along. We have 13 hens, and we have easily a dozen eggs a day, and what we don't use, we give away, and it's just been really nice. I mean, I just like the whole addition to our life of having fresh eggs and having chickens and sharing the eggs. And next year, I'm taking a bee class, an apiary class, basic honeybees. So I'm always interested in that because I've been reading up on the honeybees, and, of course, we do have a very large problem worldwide. Some think it's a virus that is passing. Others think it's the beginning of the unraveling of the entire ecosystem, a very frightening thought if it's true, because pollination is so critical to so much of our crop worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And there is hand pollination going on now, which I don't know much about. I'm going to find out how they're doing that. It's a rather intriguing thought that humans might have to replace what bees do, or some form of massive technique of spraying. I don't know how they would do that, but nonetheless, it's very important to keep bees. So if anybody has an interest in beekeeping and would like to learn more, I know that the Irvine Nature Center in Owings Mills is offering this class as part of their continuing education program. It begins in March, and I believe it's 4 Wednesdays and 1 other day on the weekend. So it's, you learn how to keep bees and how to take care of them and how to get the honey and leave them part of the honey for the winter. And anyway, all these little things that we can do to enrich the land that we're part of and the nature spirits and the animal kingdom. And for me, it's been just a wonderful addition to life. I mean, it's just great fun. Who was it that called earlier and said, I think it was Joel, that he's like having a second childhood? It's kind of how I feel, only without the confusion that comes with childhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take our final break.
He goes, yeah, well.
No, I've been thinking about what you're saying there in regards to that, because I wanted you to get to the theory, and a new theory that you mentioned to me a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and
about
I think I mentioned that once on the
bees.
Air that, that one thought is that one of the problems with the bees' immune system and why they're so prone now to parasitic and other fungi attacks inside the hives is that there's been a recent development in honeykeeping, beekeeping, where they take the whole comb out at the end of the season and then they feed the hive honey water or sugar water. I don't know if it's with glucose or corn syrup. I'm not sure what they do, but it's not the same as leaving part of their own honey and their own comb to feast on. So a theory that a woman I know advanced, who is not a scientist but has with her husband kept bees, said that this was something that she was thinking about, that... And I thought, if it's true, and it's been a chronic kind of creeping phenomena where we take away from the bees what they actually need, which is their own production and their own honey for their own wellness, and instead we give them sugar water, it kind of reminds me when people are in surgery, when they come out of surgery in the hospitals, and I suspect at some point in time people understood that's when you give people vital foods, not denuded foods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's slowly turning around, but... You know, you get things like ginger ale and Jell-O. It's sugar water.
Yeah, I've been amazed at that. And it was the same kind of thought or thinking that put McDonald's into Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Well, that's a hospital.
Oh, that's just horrendous. Just horrendous.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No, I think, but I'm not certain, that they're no longer in the Hopkins Hospital. If not, they shouldn't be. They should have learned that a long time ago. Let's take our final break of the hour, and I certainly would love to hear from, or actually we would certainly love to hear from a few more of our listeners before we close up tonight at 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680, and or 1-800-922-6680. And we're talking about our memories of the holiday season in our hometown. We'll be back.
X Solutions Radio, every Sunday at 1 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Next week on 21st Century Radio, yet another author who provided research material to Dan Brown's latest blockbuster, William Henry on the apotheosis of George Washington and other secret symbols on the U.S. Capitol. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the fundamental truths upon which our nation was founded, and they are illustrated by the new exhibit at the world-renowned American Visionary Arts Museum on Key Highway in Baltimore. Dare I say it, it's their best ever. Get over there the next free weekend you have and take all of your out-of-town visitors to AVAM to show it off. While there, do me a favor and stop by their incredible gift shop called Sideshow and buy one of my books that are on special sale at Sideshow in honor of their Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness exhibit. Call 443-872-4926. That's 443-872-4926 or on the web at AVAM.org.
Zoe Hieronymus here. Visit my website, www.zoharaonline.com. That's Zohara, Z-O-H-A-R-A, online.com. Find podcasts of decades of radio interviews, journalism, and photography. Find links to experts worldwide and in Maryland for subjects that range from where to sail in Maryland to the latest in UFOs. Find out about artificial intelligence and spiritual pathways. Zohara Online is a hub for finding books, people, and organizations in the business of doing good. It's always an adventure without reservations. Visit my website, www.zoharaonline.com.
Hi, this is Cy Liebergott of Apollo Ecom, Journey of a Lifetime, and you are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
And welcome back to the last segment of 21st Century Radio for this Sunday with my wife, Zohara Hieronymus. Once a month, I think the next time we'll be together is on December 20th. Is that correct? Yes, on December the 20th. Right, Zo?
Yep.
And I want to mention this. There's always something new going on at the Ruscomb Mansion Community Health Center. And it was founded by Zohara over 25 years ago. You can check out www.ruscombe.org for information on the latest classes and events, or call 410-367-7300. A Thanksgiving cooking class was very popular last week, and there is always something going on Wednesday night yoga at 7 p.m., at 8:30 p.m., and Friday morning, as a matter of fact, that is actually going to be Slow Mo. Isn't that something? Slow Mo. Slow Mo and Restorative Yoga, 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon. And Qigong is coming in January. So visit www.ruscomb.org or 410-367-7300. And one other mention concerning the wind-up show that's going to be actually open till about December the 31st at the Wind-Up Gallery, 12 West North Avenue. Go to www.windupspace.com. And you can see me at the Wind-Up, that is all of my artworks, until about December the 31st, 09. Now, we were talking about farmers. Farmer O, are you there?
Yeah, I am here.
Yeah, that's right. You got your farmer's coat on? You got your farmer's boots on?
Those early mornings now. Up with the sun and out with the chickens.
Well, the thing that I'm most concerned about this season right now is this weather. It has been unbelievably wet. What's this going to do to us?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends what kind of winter we have.
Well, we had our first snow out here where we live on October the 18th, and I understand that most Baltimore didn't know that we even got an inch of snow out here in Owings Mills. Maybe it was just in our neighborhood. I don't know.
Maybe it was just at our house.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been. And because we have our little contests every season, we guess take a prognostication, each one of us, as to when snow will first fall. And when,
it's called the Hieronymus Almanac.
Yes, the Hieronymus. And my daughter, Anna Hieronymus, 22 years old, won it this year. She chose something like, I think it was November the 1st. But all of us were just so far off so far from that standpoint. I think that the thing that excites me about watching the weather here is that we're high up on the hill. We're almost on a mountain. As a matter of fact, you might as well be on a mountain, because when it snows here, we're almost out of contact with just about everybody else until we get it plowed, and that sometimes takes about a half a day. Do you have any comment on that, dear?
Well, I was trying to think of the actual technical term, because we're between two hills, and so the cold stays in. I think if we were in Tennessee, they'd call it a knoll.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I had that name once fixed in my mind. Funny how those little details just disappear and aren't so important anymore, except when you need it, like this moment.
Well, we have had some really heavy winds out here.
Well, that was an amazing thing. That was two, and I assume other people know it too, that straight path storm that we had. We had one in July, and then we had this other one, I guess it was just recently in November
October. October 18th.
What was it, October?
18th.
Yeah, pretty extraordinary to watch whole rows of trees snap like broccoli around Park Heights Avenue, Garrison Forest. I mean, and it looks like, I when it comes through, it feels like, sounds like, but doesn't spin like a tornado, but it touches low in a similar fashion. I guess that's why they call it a straight path wind, but it was just unbelievable. I mean, just horrendous damage, really fast.
Well, what was remarkable to me was, yes, there was a lot of damage, but it happened to be in areas that we have had some discussions as to whether or not we were going to have to top off some of the trees.
Right, to thin them out a little bit.
And because we just can't get enough sun in our garden, according to you, right? You're our expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And according to you, we are not getting enough sun in that garden.
Well, seeing the property is almost all shade. And if you want to grow something other than what's in a shade garden, which is about a 6-hour sun garden, you need to pick up another 3 to 4 hours of sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
true. Like the corn needs sun. And
I hear the doggies are in the car.
Mm-hmm.
What are they duking out as to who's going to sit up front all the time?
Evidently.
Well, that's usually the littlest one, right? Isn't that Bailey? The terrier? The fox,
yeah.
Terrier, he's the smallest, and I think he generally wins. He's got he's small, but he's got an awful lot of,
the canine club
courage.
Well, that's a tradition of Yorkshire Terriers.
Now we are obviously we have a number of animals on our little farmette, and I believe we're taking good care of them. And this winter, and we had a new apartment put up for them. Remember that? You remember
what are you
the new
talking
apartment?
About?
The new apartment
the
for our dogs.
Chicken house?
Yeah.
The chicken house. Well,
no,
chickens,
not the chicken house. The doggy house.
A dog house, yes. A different dog house this year. We'll see how that goes. Now they all sleep together, huddled up together instead of in another arrangement. Anyway, yeah, it's very interesting to just be responsible for animals. And, I mean, I know enough farmers and enough people who have done small farming that it's one of these realities, and we sometimes joke about it, is you can't go away. Mm-hmm. Unless you find somebody else to take care of all the animals. It's no longer just a question of you know, finding somebody to babysit a dog or boarding a dog. Would you mind if I board my 13 hens at your house? Or my dogs? Anyway, no, but it's a lovely thing. I find it's just such a great way to spend part of life. I feel ever so grateful to have the time and opportunity. I have spent so much time now outside again. When I'm not writing, that's basically what I do, and I couldn't ask for anything greater from God to be able to be outside and be with the animals and then to go inside and study the Word of God. I mean, for me, it's like the perfect life. I don't know how it would be for anybody else, but for my makeup and nature, it's near heavenly right here on earth.
Well, I think as you know, I love birds. I think I like birds more than any of the animals. If I ever get to understand why we never get a chance to see Baltimore Orioles around here, I know it's too late to ask any of our listeners out there, but have you guys out there seen any Baltimore Orioles? I've never seen one.
You haven't ever?
Never. Never.
Really? We used to see them quite often as children.
You mean out on Caves Road?
Yeah, out in the Park Heights area, Owings Mills area.
Well, that's...
Well, it was also not as developed as it is now.
Yeah, I have not seen any, and I've talked to many birders. I could never be a birder because I don't have that kind of patience.
You have to be pretty patient.
Yeah,
with
you
that.
Sure do, and spend a good deal of time out there in the cold, watching those kind of things. However, I like the idea of it. I mean, it's the kind of thing that
it looks good in the movies.
When I grow up, someday I would like to be able to be a birder.
When we grow up, we'll be 120.
And the other birds that I'm missing right about now are the bluebirds. Even though we have
blue jays? Oh no, the little bluebirds, yeah.
Little bluebirds. Yeah. We have maybe two, but they only hang out in a certain part of the property, and I find that very disturbing because I like birds that are very colorful. And bluebirds out here are about the most color you can get. I think, anyway, the most beautiful colors you can get, besides all the different parrots. But what we're beginning to learn about parrots and other birds and consciousness, I think, is really key, because I had no idea that they are understanding the words that they're taught. We always thought that parrots, by and large, would just mimic without an understanding, but we're beginning to see that maybe they understand more about what they're trying to communicate or what we're trying to communicate with them. And I certainly would like to find out if it has anything to do with, you know the old theories of the bird language?
I know some of the Sufi writings on the language of the birds.
And in Sufi? Did you say Sufi?
Yeah, there's actually, I think it's called the Conference of the Birds.
The Conference of the Birds.
But anyway, well, it's more of a metaphorical...
Well, I have extremely high regard for the Sufis, especially in regards to their understanding of how all of us fit together on one people, one planet, especially from that standpoint. Now, in regards to what we're going to be talking about in the following week, do you want to give out homework for about a month from now?
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't ever want to give homework to anybody the rest of my life.
That's a surprise.
To be quite frank, I have enough homework of my own. I think everybody... I can give an assignment. The assignment I would give is self-refinement and self-management. I don't think there's any more important homework for people on this planet to be doing than self-management and controlling one's anger and knowing that you don't live by yourself in this world. And when one is out of control, it is as severe to the people around you as sometimes things that actually harm people physically. So that would be my homework assignment for everybody. Because it's the one we actually all have. If you could say we all have the same homework, that's it. It's how do you become a self-managed human so that you actually are an addition wherever you stand, whatever you do, however you think, whatever you say. It's not an easy homework assignment.
Well, it looks like you got the last word, sweetheart.
Oh, lucky me.
Well, we'll see you next week on 21st Century Radio. And I understand that we're going to take another look at some of the symbolism in Washington, D.C. And that will determine a little bit more of just what this great country is all about. See you next week. Thank you for joining us again, sweetheart.
A pleasure.
And we'll see you about December the 20th.
Powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680, WCBM Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Giangrasso.